Before I begin this morning, just a personal comment. Joyce and I had a good trip to San Antonio for our nephew Graham's wedding. He and Taylor were married last weekend, and we had made that commitment about 18 months. He wanted to be married on February the 29th, so he had an anniversary just once every 4 years. And so we committed to that, and then lo and behold, the Mark Hayes concert fell on that Sunday afternoon. We couldn't get back for that, but I was able to join online in worship Sunday morning, and then also to enjoy the concert through the live streaming. And we were so blessed here to have Mark Hayes and his commitment to Christ, his commitment to the arts, and to music. I look forward to the next time we have a composer weekend. Just fantastic day in the life of our church. And now I'm going to try to do a 20-minute sermon in about 10 minutes. I struggled with this yesterday because I knew there would be a time crunch. And with the installation of officers and the other times we have in the service, it just works that way today. And so I'll try to edit on the run. But the sermon today is about integrity. And I picked this topic in particular because of the installation of officers, of leaders in the church. And I'll say it again in the course of the message, it applies to all of us, not just the leaders in the church. And so let's pray as we come to this message. O Lord, now open our hearts and minds by the power of your Holy Spirit, that as the scriptures are read this day, and as your word is proclaimed, may we hear with joy what you have to say to us. We pray in Jesus' name, amen. I'm reading this morning from the New Testament on page 786 in the Pew Bible. It's Matthew 5, verses 33 to 37. It's part of the Sermon on the Mount. Matthew 5, beginning at verse 33, Jesus says, "Again, you have heard that it was said to those of ancient times, 'You shall not swear falsely, but carry out the vows you have made to the Lord.' But I say to you, do not swear at all, either by heaven, for it is the throne of God, or by the earth, for it is his footstool, or by Jerusalem, for it is the city of the great king. And do not swear by your head, for you cannot make one hair white or black. Let your word be yes, yes, or no, no. Anything more than this comes from the evil one." So on this day in which we have installed elders and deacons at all three services, I want to share with you that I believe with all my heart and mind that integrity is a key ingredient of effective leadership in the life of the church and in any realm of life for that matter. It is one of the key ingredients. In the New Testament this morning, if we had time, we could turn to 1 Timothy chapter 3. And in 1 Timothy chapter 3, you get the classic seven qualities of what is required for a leader in the church. And in 1 Timothy chapter 3, all of the areas that are mentioned really speak about integrity at every level of one's life if you're to be an officer. Now, there are many scriptures this morning that I could have selected that talk about the role of the elder, the role of the deacon, the role of a church leader or a pastor, but the one from Matthew will do just fine for us this morning. I'll refer to some others as well. But the calling of individuals to serve as church officers really grows out of our basic commitment to be church members, to be members of Christ's body, the church, because the requirements placed on us in membership are really the same as a leader in the church. We're called to be responsible Christians, to be role models, to be ambassadors, to proclaim Christ's good news to the world, to be his servants, his missionaries, and so on and so forth. We're to serve eagerly, we're to give generously. And as I said this past Tuesday at the Presbyterian Women's meeting, we were studying the Ten Commandments, and we talked about we should be time tithers. All of us as members of the church should not only give of our resources, our finances, but give of our time. Be a time tither. But the problem is this. We know we live in a world that asks us to do a lot of compromise. Would you believe me if I said there are many people who try to do underhanded deals in business? There are people who try to cheat in some area of life. There are people in the world, would you believe me if I said this, who are dishonest? there are. There's a lot of compromise in the world, and when life breaks down for people like that, when they find themselves angry at themselves, when they find themselves in conflict with themselves or with others, it's usually because of a lack of integrity in all that they do and all that they say. Integrity should be the foundation upon which every Christian life rests. Each one of us can have a talent. Each one of us can have strong determination. We can have great vision about what we want to do, great plans. But if we don't have integrity, most likely we will not achieve all that God has set aside for us to do, all that God has in store for us, all the potential God has placed for us as individuals, as human beings. A person who has integrity, and you know this, you've probably taught it to your children, a person who has integrity does the right thing when no one is watching, right? The book of Proverbs says it this way, a good name is worth more than great riches. You can't buy a good name. We can say to our children, always do the right thing. Always take the high road. And yet the moment they see us compromise, should we be surprised at all if they tell a lie? Because we model the truth for them. All of us, regardless of children or not, all of us have a sphere of influence. We all influence someone for the good or for the bad. But when you're a person of integrity, you seek to influence people for the good so that you do not cause others to stumble. I can't tell you how many times my mother said that to me growing up. Be careful what you do. Don't cause others to stumble. And it's true. When you're a person of integrity, you keep your commitments. How would you define integrity? Think about that this morning. One definition I came across is this. Integrity is the process of seeking always to be a whole person. In other words, to be complete, to be all you can be, made in the image of God. In other words, to be a whole person is to have at the very center of your being an organizing principle so that everything that comes to you, every decision you have to make is consistent and wise and with integrity. It has the truth to it. And it's important to have that kind of consistency when we have so many things thrown at us. It reminded me of the numerical term, an integer. An integer is a whole number. And if you are a whole number, a whole person, then you're not a fraction. You're not fragmented. You're not divided by different loyalties. What you say one day is true the next. You have an organizing principle in your life. In other words, you are not one person one day and another person the next day. And I've met some people that are like that. I thought, who are you? This is not who you were yesterday. Some people are impacted, would you believe me, by the people who they happen to be with at that time. And if they're with another group, they're a different person. You have integrity if you are a person of solid, sound, consistent moral principles. Your word is as good as gold. That's integrity. The book of Proverbs in chapter 10, verse 9, it says, whoever walks in integrity walks securely. And then it continues, but whoever takes the crooked path will be found out. I like what the poet Emerson said. He said it this way. He said, your actions speak so loudly, I can't hear what you're saying. And that's so true. Sometimes our actions speak much louder than our words. Think about this morning and this afternoon. Consider this. When and where did you learn about integrity? Who taught you about integrity, to be a person of integrity? Because that person you owe a debt of gratitude to, whoever it was. It is so important to be a person of integrity because as you read the paper and listen to the news, what you discover is there is massive evidence that our nation is in a crisis of integrity and identity. Who are we? What is the truth? Hardly a month goes by, over the last 30, 40 years or so that in the news we read about a Roman Catholic priest or a Protestant pastor or a youth director who's gotten into some kind of misconduct. You hear about it all the time. Hardly a month goes by and you hear about a politician accused of something by someone, and oftentimes many of them resign. Just this past year, we heard about the scandal of people who were falsifying college entrance exam scores, and one man in particular, William Rick Singer, he was the organizer of that scheme. He took in over $25 million over 8 years from dozens of wealthy individuals. A few of them were celebrities that we've heard about in the news, but there were also people who were leaders in major companies in our nation, both public and private, who were a part of that, and people in colleges who went along with that scam. And William Rick Singer, he falsified entrance exam scores, bribed dozens of officials in colleges, and got students enrolled in more than 750 families. Again, not just the two or three you hear about in the news, 750 families. I could go on and on about the crisis of integrity, the crisis of identity that we hear about in the news. But let me lighten it up for a little bit as I come to a close this morning with several points by telling you a story about two ladies. There were two elderly women who were walking through a cemetery, and they were having fun reading the names and the phrases on tombstones. And they came to one tombstone, and it said, John Smith, a politician and an honest man. And one of the women said to the other, she said, oh my heavens, they've put two men in the same grave. So now that I've got your attention, just a few spiritual principles I want to share as we come to a close this morning. First principle, people of integrity mean what they say, and they say what they mean. In Matthew chapter 5, Jesus is teaching in the Sermon on the Mount, and he says, you have heard it said, you shall not swear falsely, but perform to the Lord that which you have sworn. But I say to you, don't swear at all, said Jesus. Let your yes be yes, and your no be no. Here's what was happening. In ancient times, people in Jesus' day, they were swearing in the name of someone or something great, and they felt if they swore in the name of something great, that it would add more credence to their truth, to their promise. And so, for example, they might say, in the name of the great city of Jerusalem, I will be here Wednesday night for the Bible study led by Paul Means on the life of David. And I'll be here this Wednesday at 6 o'clock. On a stack of Bibles, I swear that. Or on the name of the Apostle Paul, I swear I will be here. In the name of Northwood, you get the idea. And Jesus said, no, don't do that. Just be there if you plan to be there. Let your yes be yes and your no be no. In other words, a person of integrity means what they say, and they say what they mean. Principle number two. Actually, I'm going to go to principle number three. You'll get number two in a couple of weeks. Principle number three. People of integrity can admit when they have made a mistake. I think that's important for church leaders to do that, and people in general to admit when they've made a mistake. And know that you can always turn for help to God when you have made a mistake, when you need help. I hope you will read 2 Samuel chapter 12. 2 Samuel chapter 12, and I know you're writing that down, 2 Samuel chapter 12, has the story of the prophet Nathan, who goes to King David and confronts David with the story about a lamb, and confronts David about the killing of Uriah the Hittite, who was Bathsheba's husband. Bathsheba was the woman that he had an adulterous affair with. And Nathan confronts him about his sins. And it is that moment, when Nathan does that, that the prophet David does a wonderful thing. He pauses and he says, God, I need help. I made a mistake. Now, we believe that David wrote Psalm 51. It's a wonderful psalm. And it has the phrase in it, create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. That should be our attitude as people of integrity, that when we make a mistake, We say what we are and we acknowledge what we've done and we ask God for help. Turning to God for help takes integrity as people. Here's a quote from Barbara Brown Taylor. She's a Presbyterian minister, and I think she has a really good point for us today about the story of King David in 2 Samuel. She writes, "Was David a good man or a bad man? You decide," she says. "I think," she writes, "he was both. In fact, I think all of us are both. If we remember David as a hero, I hope it is not because of his victory over Goliath or his writing the Psalms or his victories in war. I hope instead we remember David as a hero because of that moment when the prophet Nathan confronted him and David saw who he was and what he had done so that God could say to King David, come home, come home." King David realized his mistakes and he was able to go to Almighty God and confess his sins directly to him. You see, the line that separates good and evil in a human being, it passes right through the human heart. And there is no one that is perfect. But if you are a person of faith, if you're a person of integrity who is authentic, then you can admit when you've made a mistake and you can turn to God for help and restoration to the community. And so may the grace of God help each one of us to be people of integrity, living the very word of God and walking humbly with our Lord. Let us pray as we come to our closing song. O Lord and our God, we thank you for this day. We thank you for your beautiful word to us about integrity, about the importance of leadership in the life of your church, and how you call every one of us, everyone, there are no exceptions, to be people who influence others for the good. And may we always do everything we do in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, who gives us faith. Amen.